seeing you get sick like that, you know, you're my everything. You're my partner in crime.
Aww.
You know, and it's like you start to question, like, man, is this it for us? Did I get just 10 years with you and that's it? It's what was going through my mind. So it was really hard.
Welcome to the Branded Hustle Podcast. I'm Daryl, and I'm here to get your sales game tight.
And I'm Lori, and I'm here to get your brand looking right.
Let's get to hustling.
Welcome back to the Branded Hustle Podcast. So glad you guys are back with us again.
Yes, sir.
Yes, yes, yes. So today we have a really awesome episode. The episode is how to deal with work and life changes.
It's going to be a good one.
Totally inspired by what's going on these days, right?
Mm-hmm.
So can't wait to knock it out for you guys and really go through what we have. So first question is this. So what for, this is for you.
Okay.
So, and me too, I'll answer. But what's the most difficult change that you've dealt with at work specifically?
Okay. I will say when it comes to like when I was in property management, it was always tough when like you're kind of always at a crossroads of like, are we going to get bought out? A lot of apartments, if you don't know this with property management, a lot of companies get bought out, which is why if you live in an apartment and you notice different people, it probably got bought out. And a lot of times, not going to lie, it's always for the worse.
Mm.
Like it's never a seamless move. And they cut everybody out.
Yeah.
Like if you get bought out, you're literally like, I'm about to lose my job. You just hope that like, ooh, let me be the one that they pick to stay, you know?
Right.
So the stress of that is crazy. And I feel like that was really tough for me to deal with at first. Like, I remember the first time it happened, I was just like, what's going to happen? I was freaking out. But you kind of, like, roll with the punches with that because you just never know.
Why do you think when they buy an apartment complex and they, like, they feel forced to put in their people and change everything out from the jump?
Well, because when an apartment is, you think about it, when an apartment's for sale, that means probably they're not doing the best.
Right.
So they feel like, okay, well, if this apartment's even up for sale, that means their maintenance sucks, their leasing sucks, everything is just, it needs an overhaul, like a overhaul, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Like, they just need to, like, change everybody up.
Basically gut it.
Gut it, yeah.
Right?
There are some apartment complexes, though. I don't know if you remember, because I haven't been working in property management since 2014.
Nine.
What?
2009.
No, I worked in South Austin.
I know. No, you started in 2009.
No. I'm saying when was the last time I worked?
Oh, last time you worked?
Yeah. Like 2013?
Yeah, it was 13.
So 2013. So I've seen a lot of things happen. And even when I stopped working in it, when we lived in our, I think it was our Pflugerville apartment, and I noticed different people, and I told you, I was like, ooh, they got bought out.
Yeah.
You were like, how do you know? I'm like, because I just feel it. Like, you just feel it. And turned out that company, because we ended up moving from the same company to our Austin apartment in Lakeline. And it turned out they flip apartments. So they buy the apartment,
right. They
flip it and fix it, and then they sell it. And I was like, dang, they got money. So it was just like, it still interests me till this day, even though I'm not even in property management, but it's still, that was a really tough change to deal with. So if you're going through that, trust me, I know what you're going through. Or even if like, just when it comes to living in apartments, if you see things are changing, just give us some time.
Yeah.
Because you have to get used to that as well. Because you kind of get, like, they become your family, you know, when you go and pay your rent and you go get coffee or whatever the case is.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to now, my job now with social media, that's always changing.
Yeah.
This, dealing with change has been, like, hard to deal with in itself. But when it comes to social media, you kind of have to get used to it. You kind of have to, like, always be looking, seeing what's new, what's popping. You're always getting, like, messages from Instagram and Snapchat now talking about, oh, new changes. And you're just like, great. With algorithms and stuff, it just, it can become a pain. And I know a lot of people that do social media influencing, like, they kind of get disheartened because, like, I had one girl who I follow, she kind of, like, gave up on social media because of the algorithm. She was just like,
right.
It's too much. Because it can get to you if you're about numbers like that. That's one thing that I told myself to not be about. Even from jump, you know that I always told you, like, I'm just going to do YouTube and have fun with it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to care about numbers. I'm not going to care about whatever the case is.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is ever-changing. But, yeah. What about you?
Totally. I think the most difficult time that I've had professionally was just making a transition going from salesperson to sales manager. Because when you're a salesperson, you're so caught up in what you're doing. Because what you do like predicts how much money you're going to make.
Yeah.
So you have to care about your production, your performance, your day to day. But when you become a manager, it's like it was like your day to day. Now times however many reps you have.
Yeah. Like now it's times 10, their day to day.
15, 20. Yeah. Right. So you have to really understand. And for me, like I had to develop a level of empathy to be able to do that, because I get so in my own way of doing things that you maybe go grow cold to certain emotions or feelings.
That
right?
Mamba mentality.
Right. So you're so focused on executing. Yeah. But when you manage people, you have to learn how to turn that off a little bit and be a little more empathetic. You still got to push them. Still got to like drive performance. But you also got to understand where they're coming from. Because if you're so just like, you know, push, and there's no give on your part, there's no like back and forth that makes you a good manager, right? Because you got to understand people's emotions and really manage their emotions even more than the performance.
I agree.
And then I think the second hardest thing was going from manager back to salesperson, because you got to like turn that off and like get back
that
in
switch.
It.
Switch. You got to turn on.
Yeah, you got to be good at doing the switch.
For sure.
So that was one thing. I found that when I went back to salesperson after being manager, to me it was a transition. Don't get me wrong, but because I had so much experience closing so many more deals than I would have had exposure to being a sales manager than being a salesperson, it made being a salesperson that much easier.
Yeah, it made you better too.
Right.
For sure.
Yeah, it's like, because it's like there's like a level of practice and training that you won't be able to get unless you remain a salesperson for like another 10 years. Then you maybe get the exposure to that many deals.
Exactly.
Right. But if you're a sales manager, it's like you're managing like 10, 15, 20 times the amount of deals you would normally have got exposed to.
I agree.
So, but I think just going back to the hardest thing was learning the empathy. From being the salesperson to the sales manager.
All right, well, let's switch gears a little bit.
Okay.
What about life? What has been the most difficult change that you've dealt with in life?
I would say when you got sick.
Yeah.
That was hard. Yeah. That was really hard because it was like, you know, we're so close.
Yeah.
You know, I think this year, 2020, has gotten us even closer. Yeah. It, I mean, not that we didn't want to get closer, but it definitely forces
you
to get closer.
It kind of forces you to either get closer or divorce.
Yeah. Like, which one's it going to be?
Which was not a divorce, not here.
Yeah, definitely not. Sure. But yeah, so like seeing you get sick like that, you know, you're my everything. You're my partner in crime.
Aww.
You know, and it's like you start to question like, man, is this it for us? Like, did I get just 10 years with you and that's it? Yeah. Or am I going to get more? And I think that's a real thing. And you don't really expect to go through something like that super early. Sorry. She's asking. I'm telling you the truth. Sorry if I'm like, you know, jerking tears over here. But it's what was going through my mind. So it was really hard. I don't even ask you what was the hardest thing. Because, I mean, sorry if I went a little too hard there.
I'm good.
Sorry. I love you.
I love you too. It was hard.
Yeah.
It's funny because like, sorry guys. When you like go through something like that, the stuff that you thought was hard before, you literally laugh at it. Because you're just like, if I thought like, I don't know, stupid little minuscule stuff was hard.
Yeah.
And you go through something like that, you're just like, wow. That's nothing compared to like what really tough is. And even like going through like the whole, like, and this is crazy. I know people think I'm crazy when I talk about this on my YouTube, but I even appreciate that it was only pre-cancer.
Yeah.
You know, like I feel like my mom and dad raised me to have this attitude of like, there's always people that are worse than you.
Yeah.
So even though it was a tough thing to deal with, you're just like, man, I just thank God it wasn't cancer. I thank God it wasn't like stage 4, you know, because that's what held me together through that all. Because I'm like, man, it could have been way worse.
Yeah.
And that makes me appreciate what happened. And in some weird way, I am glad that happened to me.
Yeah.
Because it made me appreciate life more.
Yeah, it's like no way you cannot have a deeper appreciation
for every
blessing that you receive.
Yeah, and also it kind of, it's weird. Like that's why the silver lining in things is so important, because if that would have never happened, like, we've been trying to have babies for 10 years.
Yeah.
So by that happening to me, it gave us answers that we've wondered about.
True.
You know, so now we can go to the fertility center and we can be like, all right, so this was the deal. There's some wrong things wrong with my uterus, but we fixed it. And now we can move forward, you know? So, sorry, guys. I hate getting emotional. This is normally when I get emotional on my YouTube channel and not really on the podcast, but
yeah,
that was tough. And it was like two years, you know, and we're still kind of going through it. You know, yeah. It's just, I feel like the hardest part's over, but we're still going through it. So, yeah.
Yeah. But there's good news, right? It's getting better.
Yeah.
So that's definitely a positive. So I guess this is a good question to follow up with.
Okay. Is it going to make me emotional?
I hope not, but I think it's a good little transition. So how do you deal with control issues?
Oh man, that's a perfect question to ask after this that we just discussed. Because I don't know if you've noticed this about me, but I'm kind of a control freak.
No, I've never noticed that.
When the whole pre-cancer scare happened, and they told me, like, you have to have surgery, you have to do this, you have to do that. Yeah. I was just like, what? Like, I didn't... When you have surgery, you get put under. Like, there's always a part of you, no matter who you are, you're going to think, like, am I going to wake up? And I felt during that whole issue with going through my sickness, I had no control of what was happening to my body. You know? Whether it was, like, the way I was feeling, gaining weight, everything that I went through with that, it just felt uncontrollable until I realized what I can control is my attitude.
Yeah.
And I remember when this happened, when they told me about the whole cancer thing, it was in March. Was it February? No, it was March.
Yeah.
March and April were they were the toughest months of my life. Because I was told I had cancer. They didn't tell me I had pre-cancer.
Yeah.
They said I had cancer. They said that I needed to take my uterus out and get a hysterectomy immediately.
Right.
So for those March and April, I was really depressed. Like, I was laying in bed all the time. I just didn't want to do anything. It was really tough for me. And I was sick as it was, you know.
Yeah.
It was not a good time. But I remember just hearing God's voice tell me, like, you're stronger than this. Like, get up. And it just, like, kind of took me by surprise because I'm normally a very strong person. You know, like, I've been there for people who've gone through stuff like this. You know what I'm saying? Like, my mom went through something like this when I was, like, in fifth grade.
Right.
And I was literally, like, I would take her breakfast in a tray with, like, little flowers. And I was like, I'll take care of her. You know?
That's awesome.
Even though, like, I knew she was going through something that meant it could have, like, taken her from me.
Yeah.
But I still was like, I'm gonna be positive, I'm gonna be strong for her. So I hate talking about this. So going through that myself, I was just like you need to be strong, you know?
Yeah.
And you need to realize you're not in control of everything. Like, no matter how hard you try, and I try hard to be in control of everything in my life. So it felt like that was what I needed to realize and to appreciate. Like, just don't worry about controlling everything around you and just live your life, you know?
Yeah.
So,
understood.
Golly, this episode.
Yeah. This,
hey, if you're watching this.
It got real quick, didn't it?
If you're watching this video, you're going to be like, she's a hot mess.
No, she was perfect.
But what about you, though?
I mean, so I like to quickly realize what is in my control
and
what's not in my control. I think that makes it easier.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's so many things in life that you can't control. Like going back to your social media thing you were talking about.
Yeah.
Like with any big social media company, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, whatever. I mean, it's their job to own their platform and do whatever they want to with it, manipulate it how they see fit for their profit. They're in business. It makes sense. So just because it doesn't work for you doesn't mean it's really, like, you can't get upset about that because it's not for you to even get upset about because it's not even your doing, you know?
Yeah, that's why it's hard. It's hard to even look at yourself. Like, when I was a YouTuber, like, there's, like, this big, like, stink with social media influencers sometimes to where they get so arrogant and they're just like, oh, well, I'm a CEO. I'm an entrepreneur. And I'm like, you're really not though. Because if YouTube were to shut down right now, what would you do?
Yeah.
You wouldn't have a business. So it's like, you put so much stake into like these companies when it could just be, look at TikTok. You know, like right. TikTok is might not even be in America no more, you know, for, you know, good reasoning, you know,
right.
to protect us. But it's just like, you, what if you started a career on there or Vine mm-hmm. or was it Keek? There's like all these like social or MySpace. I mean, MySpace, it wasn't like you didn't, you know, it wasn't a job, but it could have been if they did. Maybe it
for
right.
some people, they're yeah. so far ahead.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, a lot of people got big on MySpace, like a lot of music stars because of MySpace. So, yeah. I mean, they kind of did it to their, they use it to their advantage, but yeah. you just never know what can happen. And that's like where the control needs to like, you need to realize it, you know?
Yeah. Agreed. Yep. Yep. So how about this then? Okay. So what are some good resources? I think this is a really good opportunity to talk about resources.
Golly.
So what resources do you like to go to when you're dealing with change?
I feel like I'm going to be crying this whole episode.
Hopefully not.
I feel...
But it's, you know, if you do, that's okay.
With resources, when it comes to change, this is like any type of change, I always go to the Bible, you know? Yeah. My favorite, scripture, I'll read it to you guys here. It's on my Instagram bio. It's Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your path straight. And I read that a lot when I was going through what I was going through.
Right.
And, also Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. And I read so much, like I read the Bible so much during that time because
yeah.
it just felt like it. Honestly, even now during quarantine, when all this started happening, I was just like, we need to like just read the Bible. And we started reading the Bible.
Yeah, every day.
And it's helped us get through everything, you know?
Tremendously. And
this is the last thing I'll say about the whole like cancer thing, but yeah. I don't want to just keep talking about it because, you know, my faith got so much stronger during that. And if going through that scary situation made me closer to the Lord, I will take it 10 times over.
Yeah.
Like I would
do because it. Just a vehicle, really.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. I never felt closer to the Lord than I did when I was going through that.
Yeah.
And it felt like it was scary, but it was just like, I like to hear it.
Yeah.
Because you felt him near you.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I mean, it's so true. Like when you think about change, like mm-hmm. I think a lot of times think of it as a negative thing.
Yeah.
But if like, imagine this though, like if someone told you that 20 miles away from where you are now is your dream house, like it's a mansion, it's beautiful, it's a pool outside, there's mountain views in the background, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Right. But in order to get there, You can't drive in your dream car. You got to drive in like a broke down hoopty, no AC, no radio,
yeah.
nothing like that. I mean, that could be the issue you're going through, right? But when you get in the car and just drive the 20 miles, you make it to your like beautiful destination.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really kind of how I look at it. But going back to what you're saying before, as far as resources go and going to the Bible,
mm-hmm.
like my personal favorite is Matthew 5. Like, I just love everything in Matthew 5. It is literally my favorite,
yeah.
like, whole scripture in the Bible. I'll give you Matthew 5:3 right now. Happy are people who are hopeless because the kingdom of heaven is theirs. So, like, if you're going through, like, a down moment, that's okay.
Yeah.
Because it's, like, sometimes, like, you being in a bad, quote-unquote, place or not where you want to be is actually just, like, a, you know, another brick you're laying for your whole testimony. So it's all good.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's the thing. That's what I kept holding on to. I was like, man,
mm-hmm.
I would tell this to God all the time. Like when I was going through it, I'm like, man, God, you really want me to have a bomb testimony.
Yeah.
Like whether it's like me beating this to like us taking 10 years to have our own baby or whatever the case is.
Yeah.
Like, and that's the thing is that when it comes to change and we've gone through so much in our marriage and like mm-hmm. all our, like we've been so blessed through our marriage and through like everything we've accomplished.
Right.
That you have to hold on to the things that you do have versus the ones you don't.
Yeah.
And that is something that I feel like I tell my people all the time on my YouTube when they ask me, like, how are you and Daryl so positive when it comes to like infertility? We focus on our blessings that we do have.
That's a big one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, is that like we know change is going to come. We're ready for it, but we're not going to constantly be thinking about it, because when you constantly think about it, it
really distracts you from the now.
Exactly.
But I think that the next question to ask is, how can you mentally prepare for change? Mm. And I think that it's always a constant. Like, change is a constant. So really, isn't that weird though? That change is a constant.
Yeah.
You would think it'd be the opposite, but
anyway,
what I think is important when it comes to change is, when you think about it, like, I think a lot of the times we get caught up in like a nostalgic train of thought. Mm-hmm. So we think, man, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 20 years ago, things were so great. But we're forgetting that maybe the 2, 3, 4, 5 things that were going on in our life back then that weren't so hot.
Exactly.
But we're just choosing to kind of forget about that and just focus on the positive, which really is a good thing. But you can't let that feeling of positivity from back then like really cloud your judgment of the now. Because you're thinking like, oh man, now there's 20 things wrong. Before there was like nothing wrong, but that wasn't really the case though.
You know?
So really it's like, is now really all that much different than back then? You know, that's how I look at it. So then I'm like, in my mind, I feel like I'm prepared for not every single change, obviously, right? But like, I'm like mentally telling myself as I go through my days and as I get older, this is what I'm noticing. Like change is going to happen. Yeah. So when it comes, be okay with it and just learn how to navigate through whatever the new normal is.
That's very true. Because when you talk about like high school, right? And you go like down nostalgia.
Right.
And you're just like, oh, high school was fun. Like, man, the old days. But then when you really think about it, you're just like, compared to my life now, it wasn't that much fun.
Yeah.
It really wasn't like not as much as fun as we're having now.
Right.
But because like you say, you hold on to the positive things. Mm-hmm. And then you start being like, oh, there's so much drama. And like,
dudes
at that age, girls at that age. Like, it's just you start thinking about like all the bad stuff. You're like, oh, yeah. No.
You're like, oh, my hip didn't pop back then.
Yeah.
It must have been a great time. My knee actually worked.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. Yeah. But maybe that is the case. Your knees and hips didn't work better back then.
Yeah, but your knees now can do whatever you want to because you're an adult. You don't have to ask permission from your parents.
Truth.
And you got money now, so suck it. Suck it, 18-year-old me. Yeah.
Well, that's great. So when we come back with more Brandon Hustle Podcast, we have some good stuff on the way. Can't wait.
Hey, guys. This is Daryl checking in. Don't forget to comment, like, and subscribe. This is the Branded Hustle.
All right, guys. Welcome back to the Branded Hustle.
Yes.
Hopefully no more tears in this second segment.
But if they come out, it's okay.
No.
It's just part of the Branded Hustle life.
It's
for real, though. Like,
I know. I just don't like
we all go through it. I know, but like, but that's real, though. You know what I mean?
True.
Because like, that's the behind the scenes stuff.
Yeah.
Really, like if you don't cry, I remember like making my first sale and like I went to the restroom after I made the sale and just cried.
Yeah, that was a very Pursuit of Happiness moment for
it
you.
It was.
We were literally living in a hotel.
Let me give you another one real quick. This is a little bonus. Okay. So imagine this. Mm-hmm. I'm brand new in sales, like cold calling, over the phone sales.
Okay.
Brand new there. So I'm making the transition from doing the retail thing. People come in, I close them, whatever, right? Different set of skills to do the cold calling over the phone type sales. Anyway, there's a few managers at the place I'm at, and they happen to pull one of my calls, and they're like looking for people to help, people that work hard. And I guess I was on the list. I'm fortunate to be on that list. They pulled my calls, and they recorded themselves giving me a training. So I got like, I think it was like 10 managers giving me a training. Like, hey, Daryl, you should do this right here. Hey, Daryl, do that right there. Like, whatever it is. They all gave me their little 2 cents.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt so appreciative that they would take time out of their day to help me out when, in their mind, maybe I'm like future money to them.
Yeah.
But currently, I'm like no money to them because I'm like a brand new dude.
Yeah.
You're lucky if you got like 34 grand out of me that month. You know what I mean? I wasn't like a 30K hitter anyway at that very moment. But point being is that they did that for me. I was so appreciative. Like I held back the tears while I was like in the office for a second, but I went to the restroom. I just like, I had to let loose. The waterworks started. I started crying because I was so appreciative that they did that.
Yeah.
So I think that's the behind the scenes. I feel like, you know, a lot of times it's all about like, look at me. I'm a salesperson. I hit the gong. I'm crushing it. Right. But like when you really want something really bad, and you have one of those moments, kind of like maybe a breakdown, a breakthrough, whatever it is. Like, it's okay to get vulnerable because that just means that you care about it. If you mm-hmm. if you never get emotional about it, do you really care about it?
That's true. That's very true.
Talk to me.
That leads me to my next question.
Yeah.
How do you stay positive in change? Like when things like that happen, you know, right. How like, well, that right there is a beautiful story in itself.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it's showing you like how you were not even hitting and they still believed in you.
Yeah.
And that was that positive like impact you had in this change of like, you're not even wanting to get this job.
Yeah.
You weren't even wanting to say yes to like,
yeah, I really didn't want to.
I had to like force him.
Yeah.
But like finding the positive in change.
I just think that it kind of goes back to what I was saying before.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think it's best to mentally prepare yourself for it. But also, I also think that what's really important is just knowing that if you're going through a change, it's for a reason.
Yes.
And even though you don't see it, you don't see the big picture. You know, to you right now, just kind of like, eh, like I'm just, my life was this, now it's this, and I don't get the whole thing. It's like, you got to be like, okay, you got to think a little longer term than that, because yeah. There has to be something that can come out of this. And then,
yeah.
And then what the cool thing about that is that I think it forces your mind to get creative.
Because
sure. You start looking for the positives,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Instead of looking for the negative, you start looking for the positive, and it's like, oh, okay, that's maybe what's happening.
Yeah. I honestly feel like that's one thing that I was raised on
Yeah. Is
always finding the positive in things.
Mm-hmm.
And even when it's like a bad thing, whether it's at work or your personal life or whatever the case is, there's always a positive, like always a positive
Yeah. In
what you're going through. So I have found positive in like the worst of things, like with this cancer scare.
Yeah.
And with even like the smallest things, you know what I'm saying? Like if, I don't know, if my favorite teacher didn't show up to school that one day or whatever, I will always try and find like, okay, well, this sub isn't that bad or whatever, you know, like I little small things like that. I always made sure I found a way to stay positive in moments where I feel like I could have lost it. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I feel a lot of times change isn't necessarily about like, I feel like change gets a bad name. Like you said, you know, just because
Right. You're
not cool with change doesn't mean that you're going to like, you're a brat. You know what I'm saying? It just, some people like consistency. Like Daryl, for example, he used to be like a stickler when he did not change anything. Like he eats the same, even now he eats the same lunch every single day. He's just very he's very about like
meticulous.
Process. Yeah,
yes.
You're very meticulous. But you've gotten way better.
I put a spin on it. I'm meticulous.
Whatever makes you feel better, maybe.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I feel like change is inevitable. You know, it's kind of
right.
Like you said, like it's the one thing in your life that is consistent.
Yeah.
It's change, you know? And honestly, it just makes you the person you are. If you know how to roll with the punches, you will get far in life.
Yeah.
Because if you don't, man, that's a tough place to be in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I can't even imagine if I would have like let things get to me when changes were happening, how I would be now.
Right.
You know? So yeah.
So do you think there's a silver lining?
Oh,
in
always.
Change?
There's always a silver lining to change, good or bad. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like everything leads you somewhere. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, whether it's like getting out of a relationship to get to another one that leads to your spouse.
Yeah.
Getting out of a job that you're just like, I'm not appreciated here, to like, that leads to a better opportunity. You know, it's just, there's always a silver lining. And just like you said, you might not know why it's happening or why so much change around you is happening, but eventually it will become crystal clear.
Yeah.
You know, like I truly feel when it came to like my sickness and seeing the silver lining of things, being like, okay, well, at least it's not this.
It's kind of your guide, isn't it?
It really is.
Because when stuff is like, when you're doing one thing for mm-hmm. so long and then something changes and it kind of upsets you, a lot of times it's a sign.
Yeah.
That's like, okay, maybe you got to turn left or something. You know, do something else a little bit different, and then you'll be fine again.
Yeah. And the thing is that you just have to listen to that.
Right.
You know, because there's times where, like, you're in a bad job or you're in a bad relationship, and you kind of, like, you see a silver lining, but you choose to ignore it. Like,
yes.
In a sense of, like, you know it's not good for you, but you're still like, eh, I'm too scared to go for it, the other thing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Or whatever the case is. So I think that's so important, guys. Silver linings are, like you said, it's what guides you. Like,
yeah.
Always look at the positive side of things. Because I remember, like, when you think about negativity, what does that do for you? It does nothing but hurt you.
Yeah.
So you can sit there and, like, sulk and, like, you know what? There's nothing wrong with having your moments. Okay? I will say we've all been there. We all have our moments where something doesn't work out, where we fail, where we're sick, where we're broken up with, where whatever the case is, have your moment, but don't take too long in that. Because at the end of the day, you're stronger than you ever know, and there's always something better, like, on the other side. I love talking about this little picture I've seen with the little girl that has a bear, and Jesus is standing there with a bigger bear behind his back. And he's saying, give me the bear. And she's like, no, I don't want to. This is my bear. But he has something so much bigger for her. And that's what I feel like we are even as adults. You know, we're like, no. I like this life. I don't want anything to change. I'm good. Like, I don't want, like, we talked about this all the time where I was like, oh my gosh, can we just like, we've moved 20 times in our marriage.
Right.
So at one point I was just like, Daryl, let's stop moving. Like, let's stop moving. I just want to settle down. Dang it. Stop it. Like, I want to buy a house. Let's just buy a house. Because someone was like, no, let's just get an apartment.
It's true.
We want to do real estate investment. So we could have done that. But I wanted a house. Because I was like, we moved around so much, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, like that's how we are as people. We're like, oh, I don't want to change. And I don't want things to change, whatever. But there's things better out there for us that if we don't listen to that feeling in you, you're never going to move on to the next level. Mm-hmm. You know?
I mean, now that I'm sitting here and we're talking about change, it just really, it's becoming very clear to me how much we just need change.
Yeah.
You know? Like, we need it like we need food.
Yeah.
We need change like we need water. Like, because think about it. You should always be trying to get better in every aspect of your life, mm-hmm. right? Like, you're married. You should be trying to have a better marriage on Tuesday than you had on Monday.
Yeah.
You should try. Right? Like, you got a job, you should try to be better on Wednesday than you were on Tuesday. Like, you can go through this with every single thing that you do. Like, it doesn't matter. So, but here's the thing though, check this out. If the change is something that you want, it's not a problem, right?
Yeah.
But if the change is something you don't want, why is it a problem?
Exactly. That's where people have the issue, because it goes back to the control issues
right.
that we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it comes down to. Because, like, if like, I know I say I'm not going to talk about the counter stuff no more, but hold up. Like, for example, if we don't know what God's thinking, right? So if I knew, if God told me, okay, I'm going to have you go through this counter scare. You're going to, your faith's going to be shaken, but you're going to come out stronger and you're going to get pregnant later on.
Yeah.
Would I have cared as much about going through that than I did not knowing? Because it wasn't my idea. It wasn't my plan. Do you know what I'm saying? Because right. I don't, because I didn't know what was happening. It became more of like, ooh, I don't like this. I don't like this. I don't like this. But if I would have known, like, prior, I mean, I'm not pregnant or anything yet, but I'm saying if I get pregnant, when I get pregnant, I'm going to be like, that's what he was doing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it makes it different when you don't know than when you do know.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of goes to, like, your point of, like, when you make change for yourself or when something else makes change for you.
Right.
Man. That's the thing. Just change is inevitable. And you got to roll with the punches, you know?
I almost feel like we should play Tupac's Changes.
Oh, God. That's a good song.
Anyway. So how about this, though? So another question for you.
Mm-hmm.
What's the best tactic that you have for handling negative change?
Prayer, definitely, and a lot of, like, self-talk.
Like, self-talk is a big one.
Like, I don't feel like I'm like that. Like, I'm not looking in the mirror every single day and being like, you're beautiful.
Yeah.
Whatever. But, excuse me, there's moments.
But see, self-talk, though, I feel like self-talk can get a bad rap if it's like that. I mean, that is important. That is definitely important. What you say to yourself when you're looking in the mirror, that's important. But I mean, like, when you're just doing the thing that you're doing, you're still talking to yourself.
Well, that's true. That's true. I do that a lot. If that's the case, I do that a lot, and I talk to God a lot like that.
Yeah.
Like, to me, when I talk about prayer, it's not necessarily like I'm on the floor on my knees praying. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I talk to God every single day, like, a lot of my life.
It's just an ongoing conversation. It's an ongoing
conversation.
Yeah.
It's an ongoing conversation to where when I'm, like, working out deals, you know, and I ask God, like, should I do this? Like, it's just a conversation I have with God all the time, you know? Right. To me, that's self-talk, you know? Like, in the sense of just getting your emotions out to yourself, talking to yourself. I know that sounds kind of crazy.
All mentally, by the way.
Yeah. I mean, not walking down the store.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's very important because negativity can, like, oh man, it can kill you, you know? Yeah. And I think growing up, like, I have never let people's, like, opinion get to me. I don't know why. I've always been like that since I was little. Like, I'm talking about, like, since I was, like, 5. Like, I had, like, a little attitude of, like, you're not going to tell me what to do. And, like, your opinion doesn't matter to me. And that's grown even now.
Right.
You know? Because I'm just, like, I just don't understand why somebody could be negative in life when we're so blessed, you know? Mm-hmm. We're alive, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So I feel like it's very important to just stay positive. And it changes your life. I'm telling you, and I told this to a lot of my people, I don't like being vulnerable when it comes to talking about this cancer thing and, like, infertility and stuff. But it's helped out so many people. And so many women have messaged me asking me, like, how I stay positive. And I told them this the same thing. And this is not just with, like, going through, like, sicknesses. This is, like, with anything in life. The minute I stopped being negative and the minute I started being positive, I literally felt my body heal itself. Like, I literally felt like my body was just feeling better with, like, me being, sorry, my phone, with me being positive and speaking, like, positivity into my body, into my life. Like, the minute I was like, oh, like, I don't want to curse on here, but I was like, you're not going to effing win cancer, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I started talking to cancer like it was, like, the negativity. I was just like, you're not going to win. I'm going to kill this. I'm going to conquer you. And that just changes your whole mentality, you know? And that's just with anything in life, you know? What do you think?
Totally. You know, I think the best defense is a better offense.
Ooh, yeah.
You know, that's what I think. So it goes back to what I've been saying all along.
Mm-hmm.
As far as, like, knowing change is going to come. So you're already mentally prepared for it.
Yeah.
So it's not a shocker. And I think that being okay with the change is the best defense too.
Yeah, agreed.
You know, because you have to, number one, know it's coming. When it comes, you're like, okay, well, I knew you were coming. So you're mm-hmm. not surprised. You know, yeah. It's not like, oh my God, you're here? When did you get here? Like, you're okay with the whole thing. So really, how about this? Like, I think this can sum it up very well. And with this question. So is change actually bad?
I don't think so. I feel like I handle change better than you do, because I actually like change. Like, I remember when we first got together, this is like a little bonus story. I grew up in a household with my mom that she loved changing stuff around. Like, it's like therapeutic almost to change, like, the living room, the furniture around. And the first time I did that, when we lived together, Daryl was looking at me just like this. Like,
what are you doing?
Like, what are you doing? That couch goes there.
Leave the couch where it is. Leave the TV where it is. They're fine there.
Yeah. He did not know how to handle it. And I was just like, what? It's time for change. Like, you don't feel it? And he's like, what? And I was like, dude, that's why when we got this house, he would, like, he would roll his eyes every time he walked into my office because my desk was on this side. And then a couple months later, it was on this side. And he's just like, oh my gosh. He just did not know how to handle it. Because that's just, to me, I feel like change is like a new chapter.
Yeah.
You know, and like when things aren't going right for some reason, like when things just don't feel together, I'm like, ugh, I'm not inspired with my desk here. I need to move it. And Daryl's just like, no. Like, I tried doing that to his office one time.
It doesn't work well.
I put his desk like in the middle of the room to be like super like, you know, executive. He was just like, I don't like it. Put it back.
Because I got to walk differently to my spot.
Exactly. And that's, like, that it equals to your change. Like, you don't like, because you have to take a different path or whatever.
Yeah, it's true.
Like, there's times where, like, I try and do stuff that I, like, move stuff that I know he puts in spots just to see if he, like, notices. Because you're so...
You're like Amy off of Big Bang.
Exactly. Big Bang, oh, for sure. I'm Amy all day. Playing these, like, brain games with you.
Yeah.
It's just interesting to me because you're just, like... You're not as bad anymore. I feel like now you're like, okay. But even now, when I talk about like moving living room, you're still like, okay, why?
I feel the same way still. I'm like, that one, I'm like, just leave it. It's cool. Because I don't have a problem with it, but whatever. We've changed some stuff around recently, and I've been way more chill about it. I've even suggested some stuff.
What?
Like moving the treadmill on that side and then moving
the
dresser.
Okay, that was good. Yeah, but that was only because it was new. If it would have been your dresser, it was my dresser. If it would have been your dresser, then we'd have an issue. I guarantee it.
Maybe you're right. Maybe we got to handle change better.
Because it was about yours.
Well, that's what I said earlier, right? Like,
yeah.
If
it's your idea, you're fine.
It's fine, yeah. But if it's somebody else changing your stuff, you're like, whoa, hold up.
For sure. Yeah, so. But at the end of the day, I feel like change is great for you. It only helps you grow and it builds you up. It refines you.
It does.
You know? And I feel like no matter what you go through, like everything is always, it always works out. All the change that happens in your life, if you really think about the change that's happened in your life, you can literally pinpoint back to where everything led you to where you are now. And that's just beautiful.
I think the thing to remember, and I say this a lot on our show, but change is never the straight path to, or like meeting your goals is never the straight path to there. It's like you got to go through all these changes and it's all these squiggly lines, and sometimes you go backwards and then another direction. Then you finally get to where you're trying to go.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's change all day, but you're right. You're absolutely right. Like if you embrace the change while it's happening, like you don't know that you're actually very close to getting where you want to go. If you just embrace change, like it's fine. It's a lot more of a smoother journey doing it that way.
Yeah. Because this is the thing too. Life really is like a roller coaster. So if you enjoy roller coasters in real life, why not enjoy what life is, you know? Because roller coasters are kind of the same thing. You're like on it and you're like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. And then you're going up and down, and you love that. That's the excitement we should have about life. No matter what happens, is to always find a positive in the change when there is change, and enjoy life when there isn't any change, you know, enjoy the moments. And that's kind of what I feel has like, well, this is probably gonna be more in the hustle story, so we can go into that later with quarantine, you know, just enjoying where you are now, if there's not anything happening. And there's nothing wrong with that either, because I feel like when there's change, we complain. When there's nothing happening, we complain.
Yeah.
When life's too like consistent and too like copacetic,
too mundane,
we complain.
Yeah.
And then change happens and we're complaining about that too.
Mm-hmm.
So we just need to learn how to appreciate life. That's all I'm saying.
Truth.
Yeah.
So more Branded Hustle when we come back.
Hey guys, it's Lori. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at The Branded Hustle, and also follow Daryl on LinkedIn at Daryl Darks. This is The Branded Hustle.
All right, guys, we're back with The Branded Hustle. So now is my favorite part of this podcast.
Yes, it is.
And that's our hustle stories. Yes. So I feel like this is the perfect hustle story for what's been happening in the world now.
Yeah.
Because I feel like one of the biggest changes that's ever happened in everybody's life all together, all in it together, has been this quarantine.
Yeah.
So how have you felt about this quarantine and change and how staying positive and all that has happened for you?
You know, I think, like everybody else, you have your moments. I felt like, you know, maybe when it first started, like March and April, it was a bit more tough. It still has moments today. You know, we're sitting here like mid-October and it's still like what's going on a little bit.
Yeah.
But definitely not as much as March and April. So I really think that, like, for me, you know, like Lori said earlier, I'm pretty big on routine.
Mm-hmm.
And finding a new routine within this has been a big thing. But there's also been a lot of positives, like the fact that we're doing this podcast.
Yeah.
You know, this came out of like us sitting around in quarantine, just talking and being like, hey,
we have all the stuff we need.
Yeah. Let's just do it.
Because Daryl did music, so he had these mics. We had like almost everything still.
Yeah.
So we're like, huh.
So it made a lot of sense.
Interesting.
So there's a lot of positives, though, that have come out of it, of the change. And that's what, to me, this whole talk is about. You know, it's finding the positives and things. So yeah, like positive there. I've been able to like work out more. We spend more time together. You know, there's a study, and I forgot the percentage, but, you know, like, let me just kind of throw it out there. People in general in 2020 have actually spent more time talking to their family in 2020 than they had in previous years. So even though it's not like face to face, but it's more phone calls, it's more FaceTimes, it's more Zooms, all that stuff. So that's a positive, I think, it's come out for everybody. I know it's definitely helped us out.
Yeah, totally. I feel like there's no excuses for people to use now. Like, if you were always busy to call your parents or your tias or uncles or whoever, it's like, well, now you don't have an excuse. Yeah. Like, now they're going to call you and you're going to say, like, oh, well, I don't think, especially in, like, during that March, April, May time.
Right.
Where people were, like, working from home, but not really. It was, like, a weird time, you know? But, yeah, I mean, we literally still have not stepped foot anywhere since March. Because I do, I have asthma, so we're a little bit more, like, I'm a little bit more scared. Well, you are too.
So, yeah, I don't want to get you sick.
Yeah, so we haven't stepped foot anywhere. But the thing with me is that I'm such a homebody. Like, I am, like, the epitome, like, the queen of homebodies. I just love being at home.
Yeah.
But I've appreciated all the time that we've spent together. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like, sorry, allergies. I feel like, and I told you this when it first happened, I feel like God was telling us to slow down.
Yeah,
and telling us to, like, appreciate our family. And it just, it breaks my heart when you hear, like, that the divorce rate has, like, gone higher during quarantine. And I'm just like, this should be the time to save your marriage, if anything. You know, this should be the time to, like, love on your spouse more.
Totally.
And spend time, like, because the crazy thing is, you know what I thought about this the other day? Last March and April, when quarantine hit.
Like 2020.
2020.
Okay, yeah.
March 2019 and April were, like, really tough for me because that's when I was going through everything.
Yeah.
But I was so glad that we're together, because 2019 was the toughest year as far as, like, us not spending time together.
Yeah.
Because you were working so hard at work. You were always working. You were doing conferences all the time. You were, like, not that you were never around, but I felt like it was a really tough, like, as far as, because you're always tired when you come home. And
totally.
We still had our moments where we spent time together, you know, but
yeah.
Fast forward to 2020. We've spent the most time together ever,
mm-hmm.
and it's been amazing.
Yeah.
You know, we just, like, you know, we started the podcast, starting, like, all types of endeavors, you know, and it's just, like, it made you appreciate, like, even though the world's crazy out there, it makes you appreciate what you have in your home.
Yeah.
You know? And I think that's really the positive side of things when it comes to, like, this quarantine. And I feel like we said earlier, like, change is inevitable. And I never thought we'd be going through something like this with this quarantine and pandemic and stuff. But there's always positives that come out of everything. So I truly feel like this quarantine has, I honestly feel like it could have made everybody a better person.
Yeah. You know? And hopefully it has. You know, I think the change that everybody's gone through has made them better. You know, Matt, what I'm really excited for?
Mm-hmm.
So, even though it really sucks for the kids right now
yeah.
to be going through quarantine and
I know.
They can't see all their friends when they want to and their little cousins and all that stuff, it's definitely terrible.
Yeah.
But I'm actually really excited, though, for when they grow up, because they can look back and say, dude, I've already been through quarantine. I've already been through a pandemic.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I'm good. So when adversity comes up, I wonder how they're going to handle it. So I'm actually excited, because if you think back, though, like, think about, I guess it would be maybe, like, your great-grandparents, if you're our age.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe your great
great. Oh, through the Spanish influenza?
Right. So when they had it in 2019, right, I feel like a lot of people from that era were, like, tough. They were, like, mentally tough.
In 2019?
No, I'm sorry.
1918.
1918. Yeah, thank you. Apologize. But I feel like a lot of people from that era were, like, mentally tough.
Yeah,
because they had to already deal with something like that.
Yeah.
And so they're thinking, like, whenever, like, the 20s, 30s, 40s, whenever something came up bad in their life, they were like, but I already been through the worst, though.
You want to hear a random positive, too, that I think, speaking about kids?
Yeah.
And I'm saying this from, like, our nephews that we've seen.
Right.
I feel like because school is virtual.
Yeah.
Kids are going back to being outside. Like, Nikki true. And Noah.
Yeah.
That's why our nephew, Nikki, he's five or four. Four.
He's four.
He always video chats us. Well, he always video chatted us before school started. Every 5 seconds, he'd call us.
Right.
And then, like, he started school and he stopped. Right.
Yeah.
And we're like, what the deuce, dude? But it's because he spent so much time on his computer that after school's over, he doesn't even want anything to do with, like, technology. He goes outside and plays basketball with his brother, you know, with Noah. And Noah's the same way. Like, they just, I feel like kids are wanting to go outside more because they are on their computers all day.
Yeah, they're getting over it in a sense.
Yeah, so
which
that's
kind of, like, good.
Exactly. Really? So that's pretty good. I really do think that's a great thing, because I feel like that generation was, like, stuck on more than anybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think there's a lot of positives that have come out of quarantine, and I feel like it's a perfect situation to where if you wanted to focus on the negatives, you could, because there has been negatives. Nobody's denying that.
Right.
But life is so much better when you focus on the positives in your life. Always focus on what you have versus what you don't have. That's, like, how I'll end this podcast with, because I feel like that's so important.
True.
Yeah. So.
The book of the week.
Book of the week now.
Yes.
What is it, Daryl?
Okay, so the book of the week is Relentless by Tim Grover. So if you know anything about like what elite basketball players do to get themselves in great shape, they train. And one of the best trainers of all time was Michael Jordan's trainer, Tim Grover. And he actually wrote a book.
Because Michael Jordan is the GOAT, just saying.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So
I'm sorry. I've just seen too many things on LeBron today talking about he's the GOAT. He's not the GOAT. Michael Jordan's the GOAT.
So just so you know, like when we're filming this yesterday, the Lakers won.
Yeah.
So it's like fresh. It's in the air. So she has to get off her chest.
Sorry, guys.
So going back to what I was saying was that Relentless by Tim Grover. So it's really like a mindset book. One of my favorite parts of the book. Mm-hmm. And I think this can really help for right now because this whole dealing with change thing, 2020, it's really like a mindset shift.
Oh,
it's like how you have to handle it, right? How you have to approach it. So one thing that he really highlighted very well in that book was the difference between what people refer to as a closer. So think about like an ultimate athlete or you're in business, whatever, like you do really well, you get a bunch of deals or you do well for your customers, whatever it is, like you're a closer. But there's another level to that he refers to as a cleaner, which is like, more than just like the person who maybe has the talent to come in and do the job very well. Mm-hmm. A cleaner is more like the person who wants to get up at 4 a.m., study their craft, and then go do their craft all throughout the day. And then when the pressure is on, if you will, like they have to do the surgery, have to do the big shot, or maybe do the big proposal,
so
and like
laying
the client. Funny. Hey, I mean,
you said big shot.
What was it, game five? Yeah, because they won in six.
Yeah.
So if you saw game five, you know what we're talking about, not taking a big shot, passing somebody else. That's not a cleaner.
Nope.
That's maybe at best a closer. Maybe. I don't even think it's a closer.
No.
Anyway, but a cleaner, though, is a person that's so dedicated to their craft that they're relentless. There you go. Title of the book, right? And they like embody it. So I just feel like reading that book, maybe you got an Audible, that's how I listen to it. If you want to read it, like with physical copy, whatever you want to do, I think it's a really good thing right now just for your mind to go back and listen to something like that so you can kind of build up some of that muscle that you need right now. Because if you're going through a change and it's like too tough for you to where you're slipping off the negative and you're jumping in the negative Nancy pool, you can jump out of that thing and get in the positive Patty pool.
Yeah.
Positive Patty pool. It's way better. It's way better over there. So anyway, I think it's a really good book for you guys to jump into.
Yeah. And that goes back to like the resources. Reading these books are really important.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I keep telling myself I'm going to read. But it is very important.
Yeah.
So that sounds like a good book.
You're absolutely right. Speaking of that, like a big thing to change, I think we should definitely say this on this podcast, is like you got to think about what are you consuming? Meaning like, what are you allowing yourself to see? What are you allowing yourself to hear? And like, how often is that stuff going into your brain? Because like, your body needs food, right? But your mind needs food as well, and that's what you consume. So think about that stuff.
Yeah.
Because when a negative like situation comes up, if you've been consuming nothing but positivity, then you're not gonna look at the negative for as negative as it really is. You're gonna be like, oh, but there's a positive over there. I see it because I consume positivity, right?
Exactly.
But if you've just been consuming everything negative and a negative thing happens, you're like, oh my gosh, this is the worst thing ever, because that's where your mind is trained to go, because it's all you consume.
And I want to say this without getting too like political or like into like whatever. When it comes to your mentality, just because you're positive doesn't mean that you're ignorant or naive, okay? I feel like a lot of times, like especially when like talks of like what's happening in the world with the president, with whatever happens, people think that because you're being positive, you're being naive. And that's not what it's about.
Yeah.
Like, I talk about this all the time. I don't care who's the president. I'm never going to, like that analogy I said about the president being our pilot. I'm not going to want our plane to crash.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care how much I don't like the pilot.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be like, oh, well, forget him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm going to die too. Like, I'm not going to cheer for America to crash.
Right.
Because I don't like a president, you know, because I choose to stay positive. And I feel like a lot of people in life, they look at, oh, well, you're positive. Oh, you think like there's something bad in the world. We're not saying that there's not bad stuff in the world. We're just choosing to hold on to the positive side of things versus the negative, because that messes up your mentality so hard.
Yeah.
When you're watching the news and you're watching, first of all, like mainstream media, period. I don't even like watch that anymore, because it's like this person's lying, that person's lying, who's telling the truth. It's just, it's crazy.
Yeah.
And that messes with your mental,
right?
Especially during a quarantine like this. Mm-hmm. You need to stay as positive as possible.
Yes.
Not just because of like whatever's happening in the world, because of your mental health. You are important. Your mind is important. You're like, you need to take care of yourself. And that's the best way personally for me. And I know for you too, is to like, just focus on the positive things in life and don't let negativity get to you.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
One of the best things you can do to stay positive is keep watching The Branded Hustle.
Yeah.
Because you keep it real positive on here,
we don't do. We do. Aside from me crying earlier. But yeah, for the most part, it's very positive.
Very positive.
But there is positivity at the end,
yes,
of a struggle or anything. Anytime you go through something tough in life, there's always positivity at the end. As you can tell, I have a smile on my face.
Yeah.
Nothing's changed.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And it's great. So,
for sure.
This has been another episode of The Branded Hustle. We very much appreciate you guys tuning in,
yeah,
listening to the podcast, wherever you guys listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, make sure you subscribe and give this video a thumbs up.
Yes.
And also follow us on Spotify and, yes, on Apple Podcasts.
Yep.
And follow Daryl on LinkedIn.
Yes.
My brain was like.
And also follow us in general on,
yeah,
Instagram.
The Branded Hustle.
Yes.
Perfect.
So, awesome.
This was fun, guys. We'll see,
absolutely,
you on the next one.
Bye-bye.
Bye.